North German Championship 100-metre butterfly stroke, and as if all that weren't enough, star goalkeeper of his Saturday soccer team. Like most very large people, he was also more accustomed to being looked at than looking, which is another reason why the skinny boy got away with shadowing him for 3 successive days and nights. The two men first made eye contact as Melik and his mother Leila emerged from the Al Umma travel shop, fresh from buying air tickets for Melik's sister's wedding in their home village outside Ankara. The boy's air of desperation need not have troubled Melik all that much, since the travel shop was situated at the edge of the main railway station concourse, where every variety of lost soul hung around all day long. Few had work, and a sprinkling had no business standing on German soil at all, but were at best tolerated under a deliberate policy of destitution, pending their summary deportation, usually at dawn. Despite his impediments, the skinny boy's face imprinted itself on Melik's consciousness, and for a fleeting moment he felt embarrassed by his own happiness. Why on earth should he? Something splendid had just occurred, and he couldn't wait to phone his sister and tell her that their mother Leila, after 6 months of tending her dying husband and a year of mourning her heart out for him, was bubbling over with pleasure at the prospect of attending her daughter's wedding in Turkey. So, why shouldn't Melik chatter along with his own mother? Which he did, enthusiastically, all the way home. It was the skinny boy's stillness, he decided later. Those lines of age in a face as young as mine. His look of winter on a lovely spring day. That was the Thursday. And on the Friday evening, when Melik and Leila came out of mosque together, there he was again, the same boy, the same black-and-white kefir and outsized overcoat, huddled in the shadow of a grimy doorway. And this second encounter was all the less probable, because Leila and Melik scarcely ever went to mosque, not even a moderate Turkish-language one. Since 9/11, Hamburg's mosques had become dangerous places, as full of informers as worshippers. So clearly Melik's second encounter with the skinny boy, like the first, was mere chance. For what else could it be? Or so, in his plain way, the good-hearted Melik reasoned. The next day being a Saturday, Melik took a bus across town to visit his affluent paternal uncle at the family candle factory. Relationships with his uncle and his father had at times been strained, but since his father's death, Melik had learned to respect his uncle's friendship. Jumping aboard the bus, whom should he see but the skinny boy sitting below him in the glass shelter, watching him depart? And 6 hours later, when he returned to the same bus stop, the boy was still there, wrapped in his kefir and magician's overcoat, crouched in the same corner of the shelter, waiting. At the sight of him, Melik, who as a rule of life was pledged to love all mankind equally, was seized by an uncharitable aversion. He felt that the skinny boy was accusing him of something, and he determined to shake him off. So, instead of going up to him and asking him whether he needed help or was ill, which in other circumstances he might have done, he struck out for home at full stride, confident that the skinny boy stood no chance of keeping up with him. Yet the boy contrived, by some kind of miracle, to keep pace with Melik, limping and panting, wheezing and sweating, and now and then jumping in the air as if in pain, but still managing to draw up alongside him at pedestrian crossings. And when Melik let himself into the tiny brick house that after decades of family scrimping his mother now owned almost free of debt, he had only to wait a few breaths before the front doorbell chimed its carillon. And when he returned downstairs, there stood the skinny boy, on the doorstep, with his saddlebag over his shoulder, and his eyes blazing from the effort of the walk, and in his trembling hand he held a piece of brown cardboard, on which was written in Turkish, "I am a Muslim medical student. I am tired, and I wish to stay in your house. Issa." And as if to ram the message home, round his wrist a bracelet of fine gold, and dangling from it a tiny golden replica of the Quran.